you got your Bible tonight, you make it back to your seats. Let's turn to Acts chapter 27. And I don't have a handout tonight. I've been trying to give you a handout on Wednesday night, but I just got this late last night. So I wasn't able to get anything typed up on it, but I want to share with you a thought. In the book of Acts, you get over in the latter part of the book of Acts, a lot of it's about Paul's life and what Paul did in the ministry and what Paul went through. And you know, Paul was being moved around in this latter part of this book, and it gave him opportunity to go to different places and to minister and to carry the gospel. And if you look at his life, that's a lot of what he did in the latter part of his life. And this is basically where Paul sails for Rome. He gets into a boat and he sets out and he sets sail. And I want to read this to you and I want to talk about this story, but then I want to apply it to our lives and give you the thought that I have on my heart. Now, this is a long chapter. I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to have to read some of it to get you to understand it. And it's kind of an interesting story. If you've ever been out on the water when a storm comes up, you want to get to land. I had a former pastor, he said that they were out on, you know, I get on Lake Lanier one time, I'll tell you this. And I was in a 15-foot boat, a boat that's plenty big enough for West Point. But I got on Lake Lanier and I went from the boat dock to the campground and I didn't move that boat till I put it back in the truck. The waves were so big when I went out in the open water, it scared me. But a pastor friend of mine, he said they was fishing, and he said a storm come up, and the waves started rocking, and he said it started lightning. And I don't know if you've ever seen lightning hit the water, but it hits the water and it rolls. And he said they saw that twice, and he said, I got one of those cushions, and I put my arms in it, and I had it on my back. He said, I didn't know it, but if I'd have fell in the water, I'd have been a turtle face down. Because he couldn't swim. But you get afraid. Let's look at this story in Acts chapter number 27, the first verse. It says that when it was determined that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners into one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' hand. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. And one Archichius, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. Now, I'm not going to read the next few verses. We'll go down to verse number 9. But I'll tell you that when they sailed, they had problems. They had problems because there was really no wind. And they're obviously not a motorboat, but a sailboat. And when you're in a sailboat, you need the wind, and you need the wind to help you go in the right direction. But they had trouble sailing for many days. And if you come down to the 9th verse, it says, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, or he advised them. This is the Apostle Paul. And he said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading in the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, that if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and the northwest. It says, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Now here's Paul, and he's seeing the trouble, and he's warning them. But it looks okay to them. And they set out and they sail because the south wind blew softly. Now they thought that everything was all right. Says, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. It's like being out in a sailboat and a hurricane coming up. Now, this was a big boat, okay? This boat had over 200 people in it. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But it's a big ship. And it's like the winds were so strong, they just had to let the ship drive in the wind or in the hurricane. Now, you know, nowadays we got all these instruments. We don't get in hurricanes with the ships that we have. You know, if you're coming from Dallas to Atlanta and there's a thunderstorm, you're going to have a delay. But here they are, they're right in the middle of it. And it says, in running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, struck sail, and so were driven. And we be exceeding tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out our own hands, with our own hands, the tackling of the ship. But look at the 20th verse. It says, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. So here they are, they're out in this storm, and they're to the point that they have lost all hope. The ship has been torn by the storm. The sails are ripped. They really don't even know where they're at. And they've come to the point that they've pretty much given up on life. It says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. Now, here he is, he's in the midst of the ship and he's a prisoner, but he's God's man. He's God's preacher, and he's on this ship, and he's told them not to go, but they've went anyway, and the people have come to the point that they really have given up hope that they're going to be saved. And after a long period of time of being quiet, it's almost like sitting and praying and seeking God, Paul finally speaks up. And it's really time for them to listen. And he said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and this loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now that's the kind of word I'd like to hear. You ever had somebody come to you and they say, well, I got a word from the Lord, and you listen to it, and then you decide whether or not you're going to accept it from the Lord. You know, you're looking for a good word. You're looking for God to tell you what you need. These people needed to hear this word. It says, this is what Paul says in the 23rd verse. He said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. You ever heard somebody talk about, you know, being up in an airplane? I don't like to fly, but I have to fly sometimes. And I've made a comment like, well, you know, people say, well, you're not going to leave until it's your time. And I'm going to say, well, I'm afraid it'll be their time, and I'll go with them. Now, let's flip that around and look at this. God said, Paul, it's not your time. What did he say here? You got to be brought before Caesar. And God has given you all of them that sail with you. And I want to say this, don't give you a nugget. If you walk with God and you serve God, sometimes God will bless those around you because of your faithfulness. Now, I want to tell you this, and I believe this with all my heart. I believe God has blessed me because of the faithfulness of my dad. There's been many times I've looked at my life, and God, I feel like, has blessed me because of his faithfulness. And you need to understand that God will bless your family and your children because of your faithfulness. We don't take the goodness of the Lord for granted. Here, this scripture says, Paul, you're going to see Caesar. Your work's not done. And God's going to give you all these people. And here's what Paul says to him. He says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Now, this is God's man, okay? Paul's God's man. And he's sitting here, he's listening to God, he's being quiet, and God speaks to him and he tells him, I'm going to save these people. But it's not going to be without a certain cost. You're going to be cast upon an island. It says, but when the 14th night was come, 14 days, driven up and down in Adria about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. Now, for these 14 days, they did not eat any food. Now, I'm not going to read all the scripture, but because there's so much of it. But they didn't have any food, and they were fasting. I want to tell you something. They were so afraid, they thought they were going to die. And during that time, they may not have even been to the point they were worried about eating. Now, I don't know if you've ever been so distressed that food was the last thing on your mind. They were distressed. They sounded again, and they found it closer. And in the 29th verse, lest they should fall on rocks, they cast forth the anchors, and they wished for the day. Have you ever been in the night in the darkness and wished that daylight would come? Well, here they are. They're wishing for the day so that they could see. The power went off in our facility yesterday. And I went in certain areas of that building, and I thought I'd use my cell phone for a light. Just the little screen is not enough. Then I had to remember that my son told me there was a flashlight. And I had to figure out how to find it. They didn't have that. I don't even think they had anything dry. They had already cast most everything they had over the side. They hadn't eaten in 14 days. And they're sitting in the dark praying for the day. It says, and the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship. And when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, or under the pretense as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, look at what Paul said to them in the 31st verse, because this is what we want to concentrate on. Paul said unto the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Now he done spoke to them one time and he said, I don't think it's a good idea that we sail. Well, they sailed anyway because the south wind blew softly. And they got out on the water. And this preacher that told them not to go sat there a long time quiet before he said anything else. And then he speaks up and says, God is going to save you all. Well, it's calmer than it was. And they, you know, they're ready to get out of the boat. But he tells them, except ye abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. But look at what the 32nd verse. They've changed. It says, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. You see, they've been through enough difficulty and they didn't listen to the man of God to start with. Till now, God's given him a word from the Lord and he said, I belong to God and God's got a purpose for me. God's going to save you. They're ready to get out of that boat. But he says, if you don't stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Well, they're listening now because they cut the rope and they let it fall. Let's go down to the 39th verse. It says, and when it was day, they knew the land. They knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore. Now, what this means is when the daylight comes and they look at where they're at, They don't recognize the land. It's just like Paul said, they were cast onto an island. And they found a creek, and they took their ship, and they run it up into the creek to get as close to the land as they could. And when they run into the creek, the front of the ship drove straight into the sand, and the back of the ship was torn apart by the violence of the waves. But look at the 42nd verse. It says, the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Now, you read this story, and as I read that and I think about it, this would actually make a pretty good movie, wouldn't it? They're making all these Bible movies now. Well, here's a good story. But I want to tell you why this story was sticking in my heart. And as I began to drive home from here last night, as I thought about how important it is to stay in the boat. You see, because sometimes when the storm comes in our life and the storm begins to rock our boat, and I mean when it's really coming, you're just like these people. You're looking for a way out. I want out of this. It's like, give me some relief. I want out of here. You know, it could be something that we've caused ourselves, and it could be something that we had nothing to do with the cause of it. It could just be something that we're in. And I read a verse of scripture over there in the book of Ecclesiastes when I was studying this, where it talks about it raineth on the just and the unjust alike. Sometimes you're going to face stuff. Sometimes you're going to need that insurance. Sometimes you're going to need somebody's help. But when you are being rocked by the storm, and you've been in it long enough, like these people, 14 days they had not eaten, they had gotten to the point that they had really despaired of life, and they had given up all hope that they would be saved. They're looking for a way out. They were afraid. They were confused, and they were exhausted. If you've never been to the hospital with somebody that you love, and you've had to set up for 2 or 3 days at the time. One time when Matthew was 2 years old, we were at church, and he used to love to eat bubble gum. He wouldn't chew it, he'd eat it. And he was getting sick, and he just get sicker and sicker. We took him to the emergency room, and he threw up a wad of bubble gum bigger than a golf ball. And I thought, no wonder that boy's sick. But they told us there was more wrong. They said he had they said he had a blockage, and we ended up taking him to one of these children's hospitals over near Northside. And, you know, I got over there, all I was concerned about is my son. When I had to hold him down, and they were doing tests on him, and they were putting tubes down his throat and his nose into his stomach. But I laid there beside him, holding his arm when he had an IV in my suit. And I wasn't thinking about anything else but what it was going to take to get him better. And when you got a storm rocking your boat, you want a way out of it, you want some relief, you just like this, I want out of here. And if you're not careful, because we all go through storms in our life, you want to jump out of the boat. And you know what I've seen a lot of people do? It's like, I'm in this storm, where's God? Because you feel like you're in that storm by yourself. Well, you're not. And what God is, I think, wanting us to understand, and when I look at this scripture, he said, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. The last thing you and I need to do is to get out of the boat. Sometimes what we need to do is listen to what God is saying. Now, in this story, as we read it, Paul is God's mouthpiece. He spoke to the people, and they didn't hear him, and they went on their own way, and they find themselves in a very difficult place, even to the point they're despairing of life. And then when he finally speaks again, and he gives them words of hope. You know, every time the Bible is open, it gives us words of hope. Because that's what God wants to do, is give us the hope that we need in life, that no matter what we face or what we're doing, we know that he's there to help us. He's not left us alone. He didn't leave us comfortless. But he cares about us. But sometimes we have to listen to what he's saying. I was in a meeting this week. We sat down. We were, you know, we got, it's busy right now. And we were checking this job, and it was a huge job. And when I sat down to look at it, we were already late. And I looked at it, and I said, this thing is messed up. I started looking at it, and the more I looked at it, the worse it got. And I want to tell you, I started getting nervous. And I was thinking, all right, we got to deal with this. This is our best customer. What am I going to do? And as I sat there, you know what I was thinking? I wish I didn't have to do this. Here's what I mean. I wish I didn't have to be under this kind of pressure right now with these kind of problems going on. And I don't know if the people in the room with me knew it, but I dropped my head and I started praying that God would help me. You know what I wanted to do? I even thought about this. I thought about saying, y'all made this mess, I'm going to do something else. I wanted to jump out of the boat. Sometimes that's the way it is in our life. It's like sometimes you get the phone call and you don't want to deal with it, but you have to anyway. I remember one time going to the emergency room with a friend. His son had been in a fight. And we were standing there and we were waiting to go into the emergency room, and they were actually going to have to do some emergency surgery on his son because of the fight. And as we were standing there talking, he made this very wise comment. He said, you know, when you're raising children, you don't know exactly what you're going to face, but you just have to face it as it comes. And we stood there together and we prayed for his son that it would go well. But the truth is, we wanted to jump out of the boat. But sometimes you have to stay in the boat. You see, when you're in the middle of the storm, just like in this story, these people remembered the previous words that Paul had said to them. And they remembered that counsel, and then they had to make a decision to accept the counsel that God was trying to give them right now. You see, sometimes people are told God's the only thing that's going to help you, and they still jump out of the boat. But you have to determine that you're going to listen. And sometimes you have to cut the ties that are pulling you in the wrong direction. You realize that? And I recognize in myself, and I was thinking about this, I think about it sometimes, I see things going on in the world and the way that people's lives have been affected by certain things. And rather than it drawing me toward it, it makes me afraid. Now, if you're here and you're struggling with something and it's causing you to be pulled in the wrong direction, sometimes you've got to cut the ties. It might be a friend, it might be a circumstance, it might be a situation, but you've got to turn it loose. These people had to determine that they were going to listen to what Paul said over the centurion, over the ship captain, over anybody else in the boat. They had to listen to the counsel of God. There's a song that I have on a cassette tape somewhere that goes all the way back. And y'all laugh, that's a long time. Some of y'all don't even know what a cassette is. But it goes back to the time that Kendra and I, when we first got married, and here's some of the words of it. It said, I got another phone call, a caring friend or two. They say they have the answers for what I'm going through, but they don't understand that their ways just won't work for me. I've got a Lord who knows my heart and meets my every need. You see, sometimes, rather than this, we need to do this. And rather than seeking what our friends say, we seek what God says. Now, the last thing, if we stay in the boat, and I want you to see this in this scripture because it's here. If you stay in the boat, God will keep his word. You see, in the latter part of this story, it was dark and they were praying for daylight. They were praying that they'd be able to see. And it was almost like, I just can't see. I just can't sit here. It's like me when it snows. It drives me insane. I can't stand to be kept crypt in the house. I got to be going all the time. And I have had accidents because of that. Okay? I have to learn, stay in the boat. They stayed in the boat, even though they wanted to get out of the boat. And what you see in this story is the next day when they ran up in that creek, they couldn't even all swim. Some of them got bored. Some of them got pieces of the ship. And the waves were crashing, tearing the back part of the ship apart. But God said, you stay in the boat, and not one life will be lost. And if you read through this scripture, in verse number 37, there's 216 souls. 276 people in this ship that could not swim. They hadn't eaten in 14 days except for the night before because Paul told them to take meat. It's almost like this. Settle down and trust God. and 276 people made it to shore without one life being lost because God is faithful. And if you'll stay in the boat when you want to get out so bad and trust God, when the storms rage, when the troubles come, stay in the boat. I want to give you this comment that I wrote down, and this is me. I wrote this for me. Said, I'd rather be hanging on to a board that God has his hand on than to be the best swimmer in the surf without the blessing of God. Why? Because God said, if you stay in the boat, I'm going to get you over there where you need to go. We're going to make it home together. But sometimes people say, well, I don't need God. I'm an Olympic swimmer. Bloop, 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 bloop. I'd rather have God's blessing in God's hand. And here's the point in looking at this story. Trust God. Stay in the boat. Stay in the boat. Amen. I hope that was something that blessed you. I know it was different. It was just something on my heart tonight. Anybody have a word or anything you'd like to say for the Lord tonight?